Well, hello and welcome to Money Wisdom. I'm John Stillman alongside Eric Hogarth, certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. Eric, always a pleasure. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing fantastic, John. How are you?
Doing great. And we will talk with Matt Pastor later on in the show, Myth Busting with Matt. But first, Eric, I wanted to have some awkward moments with you, if you don't mind.
Oh, that sounds great. What a way to start. Let's go.
Well, so part of being a good financial advisor is helping people navigate what can be awkward and uncomfortable situations in life, you know, related to their money. You've worked with hundreds of clients over the years. I'm curious to know, I'm sure that you've encountered some of these situations that I'll throw out here. I'm just curious to know, like, how do you navigate those conversations? What do those talks look like that you have with folks? Like, as an example, I'm sure you've had a client who at some point has wanted to remove one of their children as a beneficiary on their accounts. That's an awkward situation. Have you encountered that? What's that conversation look like?
I've encountered this multiple times. So it's always important, and it's just a good rule when you're having a review, you're sitting with someone, you know, what are your beneficiaries? Are they up to date? And people are like, well, we sent them up a long time ago. Same thing as a will. You know, is your will current? Well, we got it when our kids were born. Well, your grandparents now, you should look at it again. So when it comes to beneficiaries and, you know, these awkward moments come as a result of a trusting relationship where people feel like they can confide in you and talk to you about this stuff that they can't really talk to anyone else about. I mean, let's say you have three kids, you're going to cut one of them out of your will, you know, and you're going to bring this up at church. Like, those are conversations you'd rather avoid. But they are conversations you should have, you know, or there's an instance where someone's got three kids and one of those kids needs a lot of financial help. And they help that child out a lot. Now, when they pass away, if things are going to be split equally between three kids, that means that technically that child's getting a lot more than the other kids. And, you know, parents are usually not okay with that. And, you know, I'm sure you've seen it too. It's just when money is involved and someone dies, I've had a lot of unique instances and kind of sad scenarios that you never thought would happen. But, you know, it wouldn't be a knee-jerk thing if someone doesn't, you know, call you on your birthday. Maybe don't cut them out as a beneficiary. But if this is an ongoing thing that's important to you, certainly have a conversation about it and make sure you have a plan, because this is your money and what you do with it is entirely, you know, your choice.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Well, what about this awkward situation? Maybe you've been working with a couple for a long time and they're now getting divorced. What do those conversations look like? Can you still continue to work with both spouses, or do you have to choose? What happens there?
I don't have to choose. They have to choose. I once, talk about awkward moments, I was sitting in an office. It was the middle of summer, and the air conditioning was, according to our landlord, broken, which in fact it was not. His pocketbook was just broken. He was not a, you know, he's a little bit tight with a buck as a landlord. So it's like 90 degrees in this office, and this is the moment that a gentleman took to inform me that he and his wife were getting divorced. It was also the very same moment that he informed his soon-to-be ex-wife, who was sitting at the table with us.
Oh, you found out the same time she did.
I found out the same
time
she
that
did.
Is,
that was,
that
a,
is as awkward
that was
as it
a
gets.
Disaster. Don't do that. That's awkward. I was like, I shouldn't, you know, but so don't do that. But life happens.
Well, how did she respond in that moment?
Not well.
Surely she had to have at least some inkling that this was coming, right?
I would think so, but it was a very, very difficult conversation in all the conversations that I have had, because, you know, people are a team, right? If I look at my wife Megan and I, like, there's things that Megan does, there's things that I do. We work together as a team, and all of a sudden, if you're not a team and this is entirely up to you, there are some things you're just not going to know how to do. You know, it's the same thing can occur when someone dies. And I mean, I was having a conversation not too long ago with a recently widowed woman, and her husband had always paid all of the bills. So I don't mean just from a financial standpoint. She didn't know where the bills went. She didn't know who they were paying for bills. I mean, these are all things that you need to organize that's an end-of-life situation. But in the instance of a divorce, yes, you can work with the same advisor. Or there's people who are like, I really don't want that. And then you shouldn't have that. But you do need a plan because everything's going to be different. And stuff's going to cost a lot more. So, yeah, that's a real important conversation to get. If you're heading in that direction or you find yourself there, maybe, unfortunately, as this woman did, kind of abruptly, get some advice. Just like someone dying, don't make any big life-altering decisions right away, but, you know, take a moment to take a look at where you're at and what you need to do and put a plan together.
It occurs to me that Chris Stapleton has a song about that very situation. It's called Second One to Know. You know, if you ever change your mind, want to leave my love behind, just let me be the second one to know. In other words, after you know, tell me before you tell somebody else. Maybe this guy should have listened to that song before breaking the news to you and her at the same time.
Doesn't sound very uplifting.
Have you had anybody in your office that's, I'm sure you have, who's in your conference room crying, needing Kleenex because of some kind of financial situation, financial stress in their lives? I know you've seen that. How do you navigate it?
When that happens, you know, someone's really upset. I can tell you from sitting down with hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people, it's usually after someone has died. And it is, you know, of course, because they're gone and you're thinking of the memories and all of that. But it's very often part of that is there were all these things that we were going to do. And now we're not going to get to do them. You know, I remember a friend talking years ago. I was at an event, and he's a financial advisor, ran a practice. And he said, you need to tell all your clients they're never going to retire. And I'm like, oh, my, that would not go over well. But what he meant is you got to stop, you know, compiling this list of all the things that you are going to do when you have time to do them when you retire, because maybe that is not how it goes. You know, he was talking about the balance of life is that, of course, you got to be okay tomorrow, but we don't know about tomorrow. And we also got to be okay for today. So there's a lot of different scenarios, you know, when you talk about financial stress, even people that are in a really good financial place and done a great job with money, and they just find themselves on the cusp of paying for something that they are not altogether comfortable paying for, which a lot of times can be a wedding, massive student loan, you know, and these are conversations that should happen before that or with someone that you can, as we talked about earlier, someone you can trust, give you some honest feedback on, you know, what should you do?
Yeah. Another awkward situation that I'm sure you've had to deal with at some point, maybe a client has made what is to them a very embarrassing financial decision. Maybe they got scammed out of some money. Maybe they blew through a lot of money because of some kind of addiction, or they had a kid who blew through a lot of money because of an addiction. Ever encountered that? How do you deal with that?
This is also in part, yeah, we just did encounter this at our group. It wasn't me. Another one of the advisors that a client we'd worked with for a while was taking out a lot of money. You know, and we're always talking through these scenarios, and it's not just about how do we best grow this money, but as you get to spending this money, are we being smart about where we're taking it from, paying as little in taxes or in fees or the timing of it or thinking about what your situation is going to be in 10 years. But this client kind of was taking out an alarmingly large amount of money, so much so that we had to get in touch with another family member that they'd authorized us to get in touch with, and it was a scam. It was the client doing it, but they were getting in a bad situation. So in that moment, right? So we experienced this with the client, and sometimes someone is coming to us after this stuff has occurred. Well, okay, this is where you are, and what's the best next thing to do? I say it that way because I've seen Frozen so many times. It's actually a quote from Frozen 2 since we're quoting songs today.
Yeah.
It's just do the next best thing.
Really went to the opposite end of the spectrum there. From
no,
Chris
my seven-year-old daughter Haley will be, well, I got Frozen quotes. I got them for days. But this is where you are, and what's the next step, right? Not going to do us any good to beat ourselves up about, well, we should have done this or how that. I mean, you got to be real careful with, people that are just not well-intentioned that are out there. I mean, we deal with this with emails that we get from clients that are, in fact, not from clients. And that's why everything we verify in person or over the phone or stuff is scary. But so if one of these unfortunate things happened, well, this is where you are. And what do we do moving forward? What's the plan look like now?
Bottom line is if you're a person, living, breathing human, You're probably going to encounter some awkward situations in life, often related to finances in one way or another. And it sure would be a lot better if when you encounter those circumstances, you have somebody there to coach you. You have somebody to hold your hand and help you along and pass you the box of tissues, if that's what you need at the moment, and then help you figure out, as Eric just said, where do we go from here? What's the next best thing to do? And so if you don't have that relationship already, or maybe you do have a financial advisor, but you don't really have that kind of relationship where you can share these awkward moments with them, now would be a great time to think about starting that process. And the way that you do that is through Johnson Brunetti's Money Map Retirement Review Process. That's how you get it started, and that's how you eventually, if you want, can develop this relationship so that you have somebody for those moments in life. So, Eric, tell us about the Money Map Retirement Review and how we can make that happen.
You know, it's a lot easier to have these conversations one-on-one or two-on-one, sitting with a person or sitting on a Zoom call or a phone call saying, hey, you know, maybe I'm a little embarrassed about this. Maybe it's about saving money. A lot of people come in apprehensive. I don't know if I did a good job. Well, how would you know if you did a good job? Sometimes you're too close to stuff. Sometimes you need a fresh set of eyes just to give some feedback and say, hey, this is what it looks like to us, and we're people that do this all day, every day. So that review is about that. It's sitting down with someone, and it's I wouldn't get all hung up on, well, I've got to put my things together, and I got to think about what I want and this and that. Just come in and have a conversation and talk about what you've done, where you are, and what you're thinking moving forward. And plenty of times people come in and be like, well, I don't know where to start. And I say, can I ask you some questions? And I'll ask some questions and we'll talk about it. And we'll go from there. So you can schedule that visit by giving us a call at 1-800-705-1232. You'll leave a message. We'll give you a call back. And we'll find a time that works for you. And we'll be looking forward to that conversation. But it really helps people. You know, and it's fun talking investments or taxes, well, at least for us. But a lot of times it's not about that. It's about, you know, the stuff that we just went over. And maybe I'm having a hard time figuring this, you know, what to do in this scenario out. And in all likelihood, we've probably seen it before. So give us a call. Come in and talk about it.
I want to reiterate what you just said, Eric, about not getting too stressed out about, well, I got to find these statements and this and that. No, don't worry about that for now. For now, just as he said, come in and have a conversation. And the team can help you figure out where to go from there and probably give you some tips on how to make the gathering of that information a little bit easier. So 800-705-1232 is the number to call or text, whichever is easiest for you. 800-705-1232. No cost, no obligation to come in for your very own Money Map Retirement Review. One more time, 800-705-1232. You're listening to Money Wisdom with the team from Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. Let's go next to Matt Pastor, Myth Busting with Matt.
It's time for Myth Busting with Matt.
It is time for Myth Busting with Matt, which self-explanatorily enough is when we give you a sentence, Matt, and you tell us why it's a myth. Or if it's a myth, maybe you disagree. Anyway, here's our myth to bust for today. Shifting from stocks to bonds removes the volatility from your portfolio. Matt, why might that be a myth?
Well, the main reason why that might be a myth is because of realistically what we're dealing with in the market right now. You look at what's causing the market to move up and down currently. A lot of that is predicated on inflation and rising interest rates. I met with a couple a few weeks back, and they actually are working with their existing advisor, and they had this conversation. So this is why this is very relevant today. Conversation stemmed from wanting to be a little bit more conservative because last year the market did very well and there have been some changes going on, and they felt that the market might take a little bit of a dip this year. And their current advisor reallocated their position. So they lowered the equity position and increased the fixed income position. And fast forward to a couple weeks ago, their concern with meeting with me was they felt that they wanted to be more conservative in the market, and they felt like their advisor didn't listen to them, and they're losing a lot of money. And it realistically had nothing to do with not moving out of equities to fixed income. They, in fact, did that. But fixed income's down 15% year to date, and that's because of that rising interest rate environment that we're seeing ourselves in right now. So shifting from stocks to bonds, on the surface, it does sound like a very good idea, especially if you want to remove volatility in your portfolio. But you have to look at the current market environment before you realistically can just do something like that overall. So it's more about getting a better understanding of your overall position and what type of investments you're in or want to be in before just moving from stocks to bonds, so to speak.
So what does this tell us then about target date funds? Because everybody has these target date funds in their 401k that are, in theory, getting more conservative as they get closer to their target retirement date, right? So if you're going to retire in 2025, you might be in the 2025 target date fund. But aren't they just moving from more stocks to a higher bond allocation as you get closer to your target date? So maybe it's not getting conservative in the same way that maybe people think it is.
You're absolutely correct. A big thing that we've seen and a big change that we've been making with a lot of our existing clients is those target date funds. And that's a very common fund in 401ks or 403bs, for instance. A lot of clients try to keep it, a lot of people we meet with try to keep it simple. So they say, if I'm going to retire in 8 years, which is 2030, I'll just go into a target date 2030 fund and I'll reposition from more equities to less equities and less fixed income to more fixed income. And again, you know, equities and fixed income have that inverse relationship, so to speak. And a lot of people you talk to, a lot of firms out there will pose that 60-40 mix, right? You know, that 60% of the equity exposure and 40% fixed income. And the plan tends to be, well, when the market's doing well, we'll pull from your 60% of equities and we'll give you the income you need in retirement, for instance. But when the market's unfavorable or it's down in value, you know, we can go to those more conservative fixed income bond funds as a means to continue to give you income while the market's a little volatile. That doesn't always work. And we're seeing that now because of that rising interest rate environment. So this kind of goes to that conversation of working with a financial professional face-to-face and those more common now robo-advisors, so to speak, you know, with technology. And the downside of those robo-advisors is they're predicating everything based off of age. And the older you get, the more conservative you tend to want to be. And they're just auto-rebalancing to more fixed income, which doesn't necessarily mean less volatility.
So there you have it. Shifting from stocks to bonds removes the volatility from your portfolio. That's a myth.
That is a myth.
And it may change the volatility in your portfolio. Doesn't remove it, though. So thank you, Matt. You're listening to Money Wisdom. Thank you, Matt. Always good to get that perspective on things. And back now with Eric Hogarth, certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti. Let's open up the mailbag. Eric, we'll go first to Roy, who says, my wife died a month ago, and she was the one who handled most of our financial matters. I'm in the process of organizing things now. What are the main financial things that I need to think about? She'd been retired for a few years, and I just retired last year.
Roy, that's awful to hear. I mean, the first thing you're figuring out is what's your financial position, right? Is to take stock of where you are. Sometimes, as I mentioned earlier in just today's shows, people don't know, well, what bills do we even have? What bills need to be paid? So I would organize that. Maybe there was a record that your wife kept of passwords and things like that that was organized. And sometimes there's not. And you're left to just check the mail and when bills come in to kind of make a list that way to figure out, okay, what bills need to be paid. Beyond that, is to figure out what financial position are you in. I know you just retired last year, but to look at what your income is going to be now, because dependent upon your Social Security age, were there pensions, is there debt, I would really recommend when you're ready, but as far as ready, sooner rather than later, give us a call or give someone a call and sit down, because a lot of times people make mistakes at a time like this where they don't have to be made, even if it's things just like getting accounts out of your wife's name into yours, and we can help you with that. And no one should be charging you any money to do that.
Yeah, a lot of things to think about. Always good to have some guidance when you're dealing with a stage of life like that, Roy. Sorry to hear about your situation. Let's go next to Jan, or maybe this is maybe it's a guy who's Dutch and it's Jan, but ooh, we're going to assume that it's Jan. who says our
whole going worldwide.
Yeah, our oldest son is finishing up his third year of college, and we just found out that instead of having 1 year left, he's going to need to do 2 more years. Well, not the first time this has happened, Eric. We're basically out of money in his 529 account. Should we start funding it again or make him get loans for that extra year?
I wouldn't start funding it again. Of course, there's more to this. You know, do you have other kids? If you have other kids, maybe you do fund it again. But if you've got 1 year till college, the whole premise behind a 529 is I'm going to put money into this. It's going to grow tax-free. And when I take it out, as long as I use it on a qualifying expense, I don't have to pay any taxes on that gain. So is the market going to go up or down in the next year? You probably said, I don't know, because no one knows. So if you put money into a 529 and you lose money, there's no tax savings there. There's just, well, that wasn't fun. If you have a younger child, you could always flip it over to them. So maybe it makes sense. But, you know, our responsibility as our client's advisor is to, you know, often say our side of the table is pretty straightforward. You know, does this make financial sense? Does this not make financial sense? But so we can tell you what's the best thing to do, but that's got to tie into it's your money. What do you want to do? So bluntly, you know, should you pay for the fifth year or should your son? He should. It's the financial opinion. But then it comes into, well, what do you want to do? These are really, really important conversations to have with people. And I know, Jan, this is maybe not helpful for you as your son is already in college. And a lot of times when I'm meeting with people, their kids are already out of college. Loans have already been taken or big withdrawals off investments have already occurred. So there's not much to be done about it then. But this is a big part of the deal. If you are in your, let's say, your 40s or your 50s, is a normal trajectory of someone who is looking at, okay, how am I going to pay for college and what that's going to look like? I see a lot of people who put themselves in a bad financial place to fund things for their kids that they can't really afford to do.
Yeah.
So this should be a collaborative effort that you work on together because there's plenty of schools out there that cost a ton of money. And Jen, I'm not being critical of your son, but if the effort's not there, it doesn't matter how much the school costs.
There's really two different questions that she's asking there. She's asking a technical question of should we fund the 529 again, which you answered from a technical standpoint. But then she's asking also this family dynamics question, which is do we pay for that other year one way or another, or do we have him do it or what? So a lot to wade through there. Eric, before we get out of here for the day, let's give folks one more chance to come in for the Money Map Retirement Review. How's that all work?
Give us a call, 1-800-705-1232. Eric, I get it. You're giving us the pitch. You know, why should we come in? These conversations help people. And, you know, there's an endless sea of financial magazines that are out there. I read the Wall Street Journal every day, which is, I mean, I guess I'm partially tooting my horn. I like the real estate section. Kidding. But it is great. But there's an overabundance of financial information out there. And the questions that people ask every single week are almost, they're like, they're on the outskirts of financial. They're asking about how do I live life and am I going to be okay? And what if someone dies? Or what if I want to remove, you know, my child's beneficiary? Like those are much more important conversations because that's not just about how you save money or how you grow money. It's about why you saved money and why you protect money. And that's when we talk about retirement planning. That is the world that we live in is of course you want to grow the money and pay as little as you can in taxes and all those things. But the much more important conversations is what is your life going to look like and what do you want it to look like and what about when you're gone? What about if you get sick? And I really like talking about that stuff because people do not spend, advisors spend too much time avoiding those subjects. And I do believe that those are the most important subjects to be talking about when people really start looking at life. So call us at 1-800-705-1232 and we'll talk about retirement. We'll talk about life, but I think it would really benefit you no matter where you are.
Again, that number 800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. No cost or obligation to come in and have that conversation with the team at Johnson Brunetti. Call or text, whichever is most convenient for you right now in this moment. 800-705-1232. Thanks to Matt Pastor for joining us earlier. Thanks to Eric Hogarth and to the entire team at Johnson Brunetti. We'll talk with you again next week, same time, same place, right here on Money Wisdom.
Money Wisdom is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti. Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance products offered through JN Financial, LLC. Johnson Brunetti is a paid sponsor of the Yukon Huskies athletic program.
Better Money is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti.